pack your bags, start the car, and get on the road. It's time to go across the country 2 minutes at a time for the biggest stories of the day where they're happening.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Boston, Mass.
Miami, Florida.
It's the 2 minute drill on the program.
Second half of the program begins right now. We're going around the country talking to the people covering the stories where they're happening. It's called the 2 minute drill, brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. Great spot to watch you. Some NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, baseball, you name it, Twin Peaks. Happy hour, always a great time. How about some 29 degree man sized draft beer? You can take advantage of that. Of course, Memorial Day, Twin Peaks, proud to serve those who serve this country this day, Memorial Day, and every day. If you have someone you wish to honor this Memorial Day, come by Twin Peaks for some wonderful, wonderful cocktails, beverages, ice cold brew, made from scratch menu, TVs everywhere, and of course the scenic views. Eats, drinks, scenic views. It's at Twin Peaks, Olathe, Independence, and in the Northland. We get things started here on the drill in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That is where our man Eitan Shander, Fox 29, and the Philly Voice stands ready. Eitan, how are you, my friend?
Doing well. Notice that, you know, the give and take, right? You love the leadoff spots, but then you don't get your own customized Philadelphia music.
That's
so
right. Yeah.
I'll always bat off, but I'll always take the leadoff spot over anything else.
Well, and you're one of the best, Eitan. We appreciate that. tell me, what do we make of Doc Rivers being out? Is it time for that to happen, or is this just, trying to distract from what are the real problems?
Yeah, so if you were to ask me before the start of last year, is it time for Doc Rivers to go, I would say yes. Meaning any other time you would ask me from then, is it's been time. It's already time. Doc Rivers was not doing anything to elevate this basketball team, no matter who they brought in the limited capacity of James Harden, and then upgrading, if you will, with D'Anthony Melton, P.J. Tucker, Daniel House. Like that, Doc Rivers isn't elevating anything. Doc Rivers has done less with more talent than any coach in the NBA in the history of the game. Look at the MVPs. Look at the guys he had in his prime. So what exactly, on top of the record that he has, which is just failing with the lead in the playoffs, failing in Game 7, I just don't know what exactly Daryl Morey looked and saw and found that Doc would elevate this team. Now, real quick, doesn't mean it's all his fault. Joel Embiid and James Harden were ghosts. They didn't show up. They didn't do anything. Game 7 was a horrific sighting for them, as well as it was just the ending of Doc's career. So Doc needed to go because he wasn't elevating this team over the last 2 years. But there's no way that it's all his fault the way in which it ended in Game 7.
Yeah. Who's next? Who's the guy you want?
I think it's... So this is a crazy league, right, where if you have the talent, if you have veteran presence, you know, Darvin Ham, guys can come in, and if they can connect with the right player, they can do something. I understand Frank Vogel. He's local. I understand that Nick Nurse is a guy that people will look at. I'm not going to go off the crazy beaten path and suggest someone like J.J. Redick. I would personally like Sam Cassell. Sam Cassell is a guy who has played, who knows how to get in somebody's you-know-what, who will talk and will criticize, but also is close enough to this generation that he can be a player's coach and he can let these guys do their thing on the floor. He's perfect. I think he's a great balance as far as someone who can be a disciplinarian, but somebody who also can connect with younger players. He would be my top choice.
I know the Eagles offensive coordinator, you better enjoy him. I think he'll be there 1 year before he's grabbed by another franchise. But new coordinators, both OC and DC, any early returns on how that's going to work for the Eagles this year?
Yeah, I think this is one of these where, and you guys are in this spot, there aren't many teams, Buffalo, right? There aren't many teams that you can look at in this spot. It's the inverse, of course, with San Francisco, if they actually had a quarterback that they could rely on. But if you have a system, and that system is head coach, whoever's running the offense, granted, if you have a defensive coordinator running the offense as a head coach and your OC leaves, it's a different story. But if your head coach is the OC, if your head coach is running the offense, and you have a dynamic quarterback, you're starting already above a lot of teams in the NFL. So a new coordinator doesn't ruin anything, doesn't take any step back, just may not elevate. I don't think that's going to be the case here. I think you're going to see even more innovation and even more really stretching the field, especially using Hurts in different spots. Defense is different. Jonathan Gannon had a system. I don't know what happens now as far as with personnel and how fast that changes and adjusts, but I think on offense, this team's going to look at, as much as it is impossible to think, Soren, I think this team looks at the very least as sharp as they did last year, if not better. And you're right. I don't expect them a while either.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, Eytan Shander either pulled over on the side of the road, standing near a highway, or going for the high score on Frogger. Or clogging up traffic by going very slow because cars seem to be whizzing by you. We appreciate.
I closed the window.
No, you're good. It's awesome. I loved it. Eytan Shander, the best. Really, thanks so much for the time, buddy. Have yourself a great, great holiday weekend.
I can't thank you enough, man. You too, and happy, safe holiday to everybody else. When I get my car back
activated, I'm back to Vegas. Adam Hill, Las Vegas Review Journal, ESPN Las Vegas, there in Las Vegas, Nevada. Adam, how are you, buddy?
I am good, and no traffic sounds for me, but if you can hear the background music behind me, Starbucks is really rocking the 80s power ballads today.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. I'm thrilled to know that you've saddled up to the Starbucks. Tell me, Golden Knights missing their chance at a sweep. Dallas gets Pavelski gets the game winner in OT to keep Dallas alive. How much longer does this series go?
I feel like it ends tomorrow at T-Mobile Arena. I think that'll do it for a couple of reasons. Look, I don't think the Golden Knights are significantly better than Dallas. I mean, three of the games have gone to overtime. I think game two, Dallas was clearly the better team. And, you know, the Knights found a way to win on their home ice. So it wasn't like a blowout 3-0 series, but it was what it was. The Stars got their win yesterday in Dallas. And I think the Stars are capable of coming to Vegas and getting a win and extending the series and maybe even, you know, pushing it all the way to seven and even winning it. I mean, I think it's a possibility, but I did like the reaction after the game from Dallas. I don't know how many people stayed around to watch Joe Pavelski get interviewed by Emily Kaplan on the bench after the win. It seemed to me like Pavelski was like, hey, we got our win. Like, he seemed very content with that win. And she said, how much confidence does this give you going forward? And he's like, well, we understand the situation we're in. So I thought he was pretty, you know, pretty content. And I didn't really see that much reaction of like, hey, let's go make this a seven-game series now. But, look, you never know. Dallas has played fine. They're a good team. They've got a great goalie if he gets hot. The Golden Knights haven't had their goalie, Aiden Hill, realize that he's Aiden Hill yet. That could happen one of these games here along the way. But for the most part, I think they're in control of the series. They should close it out tomorrow.
They should close it out. I'm with you. I didn't necessarily think he sounded content. I just think he sounded like, yeah, well, this was nice, but we're not doing much more. Like, we're not coming back from 3-0. I did have a similar feeling in that interview. And I've watched Pavelski a lot because he used to be a Shark. So I've heard him talk a lot. And he did sound kind of like, oh, yeah, whatever. I mean, yeah, we got this one. All right. By the way, -142. If you want to bet the Knights in this next game, so they're favored to get it done in the next game, and then they'll be big favorites. Florida, a team that wasn't even needed. Like, I think they needed help on the last day just to get into the playoffs. So Vegas is going to be a heavy favorite. So where will the parade be? And how's that going to look for the first time in Las Vegas?
I don't think they're going to be a heavy favorite. I mean, they'll be a favorite in the series. I don't think it's going to be very significant. First of all, the goaltending of Florida has been great. But, to answer the question, we got a dress rehearsal on the parade, Saran. I mean, I know that, people don't pay that close attention, but we did have a WNBA championship parade on the Strip last year with the Aces, and we're going to have another WNBA championship parade on the Strip this year. That's going to happen. This is going to be the most boring season in history of the WNBA. They're going to go, undefeated, except when they decide to take a game off here and there. There's going to be another one of those. But, yeah, I think the Knights parade will be significantly larger. They'll close down the Strip. Hey, why not end it at our brand new baseball stadium site? That'd be a great spot, wouldn't it? Just everybody meet there and see where the A's are going to play in a few years and where their celebration is going to be. That'd be fun.
Hey, are we without hurdles now on that? Have all the hurdles been passed, or do we still have some hurdles that are looming out there?
that's hilarious. The draft of the bill was released this morning. It's supposed to go into committee this afternoon up in Carson City. It might have already happened in the last few minutes or so, but the draft is going in. Do you want to guess how many times it mentions the A's in the draft bill? That'd be zero. How about how many times it mentions the stadium site in the bill? It'd also be zero. They're not tying this to the team or the site, so they're basically saying, hey, let's get the funding to build a stadium. Maybe it's A's, maybe it's not. Maybe it's at that site, maybe it's not. And they only have 2 weeks left in the session. So how do you think it's going?
Okay. Sounds like the typical, same story we've been hearing all along. We keep hearing that a stadium's coming, whether it's in Oakland or Las Vegas, and it's yet to be a done deal. Devontae Adams popping off about the front office and Josh McDaniels saying that he respects the hell out of Adams. How long before this blows up?
I don't know that it will because, look, I think who knows how long it lasts, but I will say that the golden ticket that the Raiders have is that Devontae loves Las Vegas. And it's a great place to live. I think that's what if this wasn't Vegas, if this was Green Bay, and he was going through the kind of transition that they're going to be going through, maybe it's Jordan Love, maybe it's somebody else, who knows? But if he was going through this in Green Bay, I think he'd be demanding he wants out. But look, it's a great place. It's a great, it's a great organization with Mark Davis and what he, gives the players in terms of their resources and their facilities and all those things. Devontae is getting really, really good at golf. Can play every day here. So I think there's a lot of things going in their factor. I don't think he loves the direction of the franchise, and I think he was clear about that in that Ringer interview. And look, he did some damage control yesterday when he spoke, but he didn't say he didn't say it, and he didn't say he didn't feel that way. I think it's pretty clear. He doesn't love some of the decisions that were made. He obviously wanted Aaron Rodgers, and that didn't really happen. He's now got Jimmy Garoppolo, who's not even able to practice because he's hurt, and we don't know if he's even going to be ready for the season. So there's a lot of things going against him, and I don't think Devontae is backtracking from what he said. I think he doesn't love where they're going, but at the same time, he likes being a part of the Raiders organization. He likes living in Las Vegas. His family lives in Las Vegas. His family in California can come down here all the time. So he's not going to push his way out just yet. But if this season is a total disaster, I think it's something to look for after the season.
Yeah. All right, Adam Hill, great stuff. We always appreciate it, my friend. Have yourself a great holiday weekend.
Sounds good. You guys too.
Going back to Houston. Houston.
Ross Villarreal, Sports Talk 790 in Houston, Texas. Ross, how are you, sir?
Pretty good, as one can be on this holiday weekend. Hope you're going to have a good one.
Yeah, I hope so as well, and same to you, my friend. Tell me, Kelvin Sampson going to make it to the Big 12 as the coach, or is he going to be coaching in the NBA next year?
Of course, there was a story this week, or maybe it was last week, about him interviewing with Milwaukee. If I had to guess, and just from things that I'm hearing, it's that this is mostly a leverage play with Kelvin Sampson. He's got a contract on the table for an extension with the University of Houston. The terms maybe aren't completely up to snuff with where he would like to have them. The University of Houston and Tillman Fertitta are big fans of his, and of course, everything he's done with the Cougars, so they're going to want to keep him. And to me, this just feels like he's going to go ahead and interview here, say, hey, guys, if you don't want to make my terms, I can go jump to the NBA. There are a lot of people who would be interested. But I think at the end of the day, they're going to get something done with him at U of H. And it wouldn't shock me to hear that there'll be an extension soon with the University of Houston Cougars. I would be shocked if he did make the jump to the NBA.
When Dana Holgorsen was hired, I think one of the things they said is, like, we fire coaches for winning 9 games. They haven't looked real good under Holgorsen here of late. How hot is the seat for Holgorsen as he enters the Big 12?
I imagine it's a very hot seat. Things haven't been going obviously well for U of H. Holgorsen, a couple years ago, he did have that 10-plus win season. He got an extension. He is, speaking of Tillman Fertitta, who is really the de facto athletic director at the University of Houston, just around circles in Houston, you know that they like to hang out, party together, stuff like that. So they're very close, and that's one of the reasons, even before Dana Holgorsen came to Houston, Tillman Fertitta and Holgorsen had that previous relationship. But at the end of the day, Tillman Fertitta wants to build a winner, especially as they're making that leap into the Big 12. So right now, it's not looking great. I think the over-under, their win total, something like 4.5. If you look at Vegas, they were picked to finish, or just by betting odds, second to last, I believe, in the Big 12, in front of only BYU. So this is definitely a big year for him coming up. They lost one of their best young players, Alton McCaskill, the running back. Not decommitted, but hit the transfer portal and then went to Colorado. So things are not looking great right now, and Dana Holgorsen definitely needs to win some games if he wants to keep his job.
The Rockets have 5 or 6 really good young players that are 23 or younger. Is James Harden the perfect fit, and do you think James Harden's coming to the Rockets?
I'm going to tell you, the first time I heard about a rumor of James Harden coming back to Houston was when he was literally traded away. This is something that feels like it's been percolating here in Houston for years, and thoughts about him coming back. And even when he left, he released a statement saying, bye for now, or some kind of veiled reference like that. So it always has felt like Houston has been his home and where his heart is, but he had to move on and he had to ask for the trade because he wanted to go out there and try to win a championship. Now, the rumors, of course, I think recently first floating from Adrian Wojnarowski around Christmas, but it's just something that's been talked about here in Houston for a long time. And as far as the fit, I think it's funny because he's a consensus number one free agent in the NBA. If you look at, you know, Bleacher Report or ESPN or whoever, free agent ranking, James Harden's at the top of every list. He just led the league in assists, and he just scored over 20 points per game rather efficiently. But people here in Houston, a lot of them still have a bitter taste in their mouth about the way that he left. So I think a lot of the reasons people don't want him back here is because of their feelings and their hurt feelings of the way that he left town. But from a practical basketball standpoint, you got a lot of young players. You got a good ball distributor. It does make a lot of sense. Will it happen? I don't know. Is it a leverage play from him to try to get a bigger deal because he took a pay cut in Philadelphia? We'll see. We know that Daryl Morey adores James Harden, but he's also adored here because Rafael Stone, who is the general manager here in Houston, was a top lieutenant of Daryl Morey. So I feel like this is a 50-50 type of deal here. I could see him staying in Philadelphia. I could see him coming back to Houston because it is just something that I've heard persistently for the last few years here around these parts.
Astros had won 8 in a row and 11 of 12 before dropping a couple in a row, being shut out back-to-back times by the Brewers. Those two games notwithstanding, are the Astros back to being the Astros, and do you think it's only a matter of time before they're atop the division?
I was feeling like that a couple of days ago, but then you had the news of the setback of Michael Brantley, Jose Altuve leaving a game dehydrated, and you know you're happy that you got him back over the weekend and he got a couple of hits, but it's not like he's tearing off the cover off the ball just yet, but you're hoping he will. And I was feeling like the Astros, with all these injuries that they sustained, were just going to have to tread water, and you get Brantley back, you get Altuve back, you get some of the pitching back, and they'll be totally fine. But setbacks from Brantley, setback from Lance McCullers Jr. as well. Altuve should be fine. The pitching has been fantastic, but the hitting has just been very spotty. And led by Jose Abreu, their biggest, headlining offseason signing, he's been terrible. Hasn't hit a home run since September 13th. His OPS is well under 600, and the bats need to get going for them to do this. And how long can the spot starters that they have, J.P. France and Brandon Bielak, continue to perform at a very high level, which they have done? Usually those guys tend to get figured out after a handful of starts. So I would say you need to get healthy, and then at their true full strength, absolutely the Astros are World Series contenders. But right now, it just don't get the feeling, and mostly that to me is the offense.
Yeah. All right, we'll see where it plays out. Ross Villarreal in Houston, Texas. Have yourself a great holiday weekend, my friend.
All right, you as well. Appreciate the time as always.
Kevin Hagelin, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, Texas. Kevin, how are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
Good. We always use that theme song from the old show, Dallas. Is Dallas not actually mentioned in any song ever? Is that the biggest town that doesn't have a song that mentions it, or are we missing something?
Yeah, I might be thinking of a couple of rap songs with not appropriate for air lyrics that have Dallas in them. So you're probably better off going with the Dallas theme.
Okay, all right. Stars avoid the sweep. Pavelski with the game winner in OT. We were talking about it with Vegas, Adam Hill, about how Pavelski wasn't exactly like, oh, yeah, look out, here we come, even afterwards. Right. Now, I was a Sharks fan, or am still a Sharks fan. It's hard to be a fan now, but he was part of their glory days and was never a real demonstrative guy. But, you know, is that just like, okay, one nice one, at least we didn't get swept and now they go away? Or do you think they've got something cooking?
Well, the interesting thing about Pavelski, too, is he was on the wrong end of one of these 0-3 deficit comebacks with the Kings, who went on to win the Cup. So if anybody fundamentally understands what it's like to see your lead evaporate, he would be that guy, which I imagine is probably a pretty good message to be able to spread around the locker room. It's tough. I really want to say that this is the start for a comeback for the Stars, but I just wonder if it's still going to be a gentleman's sweep, if you will. I'm really hoping that Game 5 doesn't go to overtime and the Stars can prevail, but still some goaltending issues of our own.
Kyrie Irving was watching the Lakers get eliminated in Los Angeles. A lot of people speculated that was Kyrie Irving going to the Lakers, but now there's conversation that, no, maybe he was there looking at his new teammate with the Mavericks, and people speculating that Anthony Davis to the Mavs could be something. You put any weight in that?
I don't, just because, like, that doesn't fundamentally make sense to me, because if Anthony Davis came to the Mavericks, it would be surrounding a package that would primarily include Kyrie Irving. So I don't envision them being on the same team unless Kyrie does go to Los Angeles. I still think Ayton is far more likely from Phoenix to come to the Mavericks as opposed to Anthony Davis. And I did kind of, like a lot of people, I was kind of fascinated by Kyrie's IG Live, where he's like, you know, give it some time, people, stop talking about it. And I hear what he's saying, but also, like, you have to know when you show up in the first row of a playoff game for another team, mm-hmm. people will probably talk about it.
Yeah, that's a little bit foolhardy if you don't think it's going to be topical for people out there. All right, let's turn to Mike McCarthy talking about not going to lose any practices this time. Are the OTAs just a waste of time for them because of how much he's seemingly wanting to avoid getting any kind of infraction the way he did the last couple of years?
Man, no kidding. And, like, not only did he say not this year, he said probably not ever again in my time with the Cowboys. So I guess those fines really, really did hit home. And I think the biggest thing that the Cowboys are trying to do anyway is they're installing the new offense. So I think it's more about, like, positional lineup and understanding lingo and everything like that, as opposed to anything you're going to see speed-wise. And there's no contact during these drills anyway. So I think the biggest thing that they're working on is figuring out who exactly is going to construct the best five offensive line and getting a good vibe for all of his offensive lingo.
One of the odds we saw had the Chiefs as the second favorite to land DeAndre Hopkins at 4-1, but the favorite was the Dallas Cowboys at 2-1. How interested do you think they'll be?
Yeah, well, so just gauging from our show today, the second DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, keep in mind, the Stars, like you said, are in the Western Conference Finals. They just won last night. The second that news came out that DeAndre Hopkins was getting released, people were losing their mind. They're like, why aren't you talking about this the second? Stop talking about the Stars. Let's talk about this, which lets you know what the real hierarchy is and always will be in DFW. But I think it's a possibility. I just wonder what he's looking like contract-wise. If he's like, you know what, I still got a little bit of guaranteed money coming off of Arizona, I can do the 1 year, $6 million, and maybe win a Super Bowl. But if that's the case, why wouldn't he just go to Kansas City? What I think is more likely, he's looking for two for $22-24 million. And I just think that's going to be a non-starter for the Cowboys. So I love the idea. I don't know how it works with the finances.
Yeah. Finally, the Rangers still in first place. Astros look like they were ready to roar right by him. Then they get swept a couple of consecutive games, or not swept, but shut out for two straight games. Tell me, how tenuous is the hold on the division lead by the Texas Rangers?
Well, I mean, it's tenuous in the sense of the Astros essentially have a trio of free wins coming up going against Oakland, who is maybe the worst team in the history of modern baseball. So that's certainly going to help. But one of the good things that the Rangers have going is even if they were to lose their division lead to Houston, their record is so good and they're outpacing so many other teams. They're positioning themselves great for a wild card spot. And this is a great weekend for baseball because you've got Rays and Dodgers, and then you have Rangers and Orioles, who I think all four of those are consensus like top six teams in baseball, and they're all facing off against one another. So I'm pretty stoked for this weekend of baseball.
Kevin Hagelund in Dallas. Great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate all the news, all the information. We appreciate you, Kevin. Have yourself a great holiday weekend, my friend.
Yeah, you too, and go look up those rap song lyrics.
All right, the good sense. End of the hour answer. Who was the last pitcher to give up a walk-off hit in an All-Star game? And I say hit because the last walk-off plate appearance came on a sac fly.
I have no idea. Wouldn't even know where to begin. Give me a year.
1994.
Ooh, Jason Barre? Yeah?
Yes.
It was Jason Barre. I totally was told that during
the break.
I had no earthly idea who that was. I know who Jason Barre was, but I had no idea what the answer was.
That was the game at Pittsburgh. The American League was led by two, and Fred McGriff came in and hit a two-run Jimmy John in the ninth inning off of Lee Smith to tie the game, and then won the game in the 10th. Tony Gwynn singled. Moise Alou doubled him home. That was the walk-off.
Good sense. That's all I heard there was good sense.
Mm-hmm.
GoodSenseSubs.com if you want to put your order in. They got an app. That's a great way to order as well. Great loyalty club. Locally owned and operated. You know, Good Sense was founded right there in Lenexa. Great sandwiches. That's what you got this weekend. Going to be doing a lot of running around. Grab you some Good Sense. You can put the order in, put down ASAP. It'll be ready in about 20 minutes. You can get it that quick or just pick the time you want. And if you're having folks over, those party trays are a great idea as well. Order it right now online. It's GoodSenseSubs.com. Great KC company is Good Sense. We mentioned talking a little Bill Self. Bill Self was on the Field of 68 podcast with Jeff Goodman
and Robbie Hummel.
And Robbie Hummel.
Mm-hmm. Not former intern Hummel.
No. No. Who is, I don't know, still in Chicago?
Probably.
At DePaul. I don't know if he's summering where he summers these days. Robbie Hummel, former Purdue Boilermaker, and Jeff Goodman on the Field of 68 podcast. First of all, this making some news. Self said March wasn't the first time he'd had an issue with his heart.
You know, I probably hadn't felt well for a while, but probably didn't know I didn't feel well because I didn't really ever feel good. And I found that out since then that I actually didn't feel well because I can tell what feeling well actually feels like now. So I had an episode the day before the Big 12 tournament where, you know, I've had a heart issue going back to the fall that I didn't let anybody know about. And I had a valve replaced, aorta valve replaced, which is pretty common. I mean, it's not like it's a huge deal and it happens with a lot of folks and was told I would feel better immediately. And I just felt okay. I didn't ever feel better immediately. And then I had some lingering things kind of going on. And then the day before the Big 12 tournament, I had an episode where obviously it became much more than what it had been.
That's pretty big news.
We thought it was just, he kind of felt like he had some balance issues and his heart was feeling kind of funny, so he went to the doctor. We didn't know that he'd been feeling less than great essentially the entire basketball season. He was feeling a little bit off kilter, and he didn't realize it because it had been happening so long. It took feeling better now to realize how bad he felt all season.
Truth is typically in the middle of these things, but if you want to be optimistic, you can say, wow, he wasn't feeling 100% and he still got that team to a one seed. If you want to lean toward the pessimistic side, 60 seems a little older when, as just listening to it, 60 seems older when you tell me the guy's had two
heart procedures.
I agree.
Now, hopefully this is it. It's fixed. He's changed whatever he needs to change. But yeah, this is of note for sure. Bill Self went on to say the incident was a learning experience.
I've taken a lot of things for granted in my life, health-wise, and I'm sure a lot of folks have. And now it's made me think a little bit and value some things, maybe like, you know, eat right, you know, exercise, you
drink
know,
less beer, Bill. Drink less beer.
Not so much that, but lose weight. Which I guess drinking less beer goes into that. So
a little bit.
So hopefully I'll take those things a little bit more serious. But I'm fine now. I feel good.
Drink less beer. No, not really that. It's like the clip. I don't know what the show was from, but it was Sam Elliott and his doctor saying, you need to cut out some red meat. Pass. I need to cut out the drinking. Try again. Well, how do you handle stress? Eat steak and drink whiskey. Yeah. That's how I imagined Bill Self. Yeah, right.
You know, I'm a fan of the Corona Premier. The Modelo Oro is very good. That's out as well. Sister beer for Corona, the Modelo Oro. Grab you some of that on your way home. Go by Hen House and snag it at the Harry's Brewery. But when you have, you know, 18 of them, I'm talking about like over the course of an afternoon and evening, I'm not like pound down 18, even that adds up, even though it is lower carb and lower calories and everything, it can add up.
No carb.
So, you know, he acknowledged.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple less. Just a couple.
Yeah.
Just a couple. Bill Self talked about the portal, having mixed feelings about the portal.
The portal's not good. And I'll be the first to say this in a way that's good for our sport over time. Over time, the portal's not good where kids can just leave all the time. And people say, well, they should be able to. Well, that's fine and dandy. But also, the first time you hit a road bump, you shouldn't have to. You should actually go over it sometimes as opposed to around it. But the portal over time, I don't know that's going to be good for our sport. I don't see it being good for our sport over time. But for this one particular year, it was good for Kansas.
It's the honesty that makes you root for him, even if you're not a Kansas fan, where you like, or at least appreciate him.
I think this
if you're not a Kansas fan,
I think this is really bad for the sport. It sure was good for us, though.
And listen, I think you might be able to make the case that it's bad for the sport as a whole, but it's great for the Blue Bloods. Like, if you get a coach that knows how to use it, like, I think it should be good for Kentucky. I don't know that Calipari might be a little bit mailed in or angry or whatever. Bill Self played it beautifully. Yes. I mean, called his shot at that, you know, at the banquet. I need to be living in the portal. And so he did, and he lands all kinds of talent for the team. I will, what does good for the sport mean? Like, which, again, he's not saying he would do anything different or, you know, it's not up to him. Like, I don't think it's good for the sport that you don't have to play a home and home. Right. Yeah. Or at least a 2-for-1 like that, you know, little schools that start to be good can't get a game because nobody wants to risk playing them. And then they always have to go on the road and take payday beatings. I don't think that's good.
Right.
Right. Is it good for the sport that, you know, the big schools are upset about how much money trickles down to, like, the MIAA. You know, the NCAA tournament helps fund the MIAA tournament. Northwest Missouri and Pitt State and those schools. I mean, that's good for the sport, yet all the big boys want to take all that money back.
Yeah.
Like, so I get what he's saying, and Bill Self is always incredibly honest. I'm not faulting Bill Self, but rarely is what's good for the sport being taken into account. Is what's good for college football putting all the best teams in the Big Ten and the SEC? I don't think so. Is your enjoyment of college football better today? And maybe it's not fair because most people around here are Big 8 / Big 12 fans. And so their conference has not been the one. SEC fans might be like, it's the greatest it's ever been. College football's the best I've ever seen. Big Ten fans might say the same thing. Right? I don't know. But I can tell you, I don't know that it's drastically worse, but it's definitely not better in my mind.
No.
So, you know, worrying about what, you know, and not that Bill Self is, and again, Bill Self's not saying, we got to change something here. And he's just like, hey, for the sport overall, it's not better. I do think that the portal, I will disagree. We've got college basketball and college football free agency. And that is off-season conversation about those sports. It's off-season interest. I read more college basketball now in the off-season than I ever have.
Yeah.
More college football in the off-season than I ever have. I don't think that's bad for the sport.
When was the last time you talked about college basketball or thought about college basketball roster construction in May? Never thought about it.
April,
it didn't happen.
The way too early top 25, yes. And then turn it off till late night.
Yeah.
You know, that first practice. Then we'll kind of start thinking about it
again. You already know who's going to be. All the recruits are done. And now this is an entirely new ball game.
Yeah. I'll disagree. I think the portal's good for it.
I think
it's right. I think kids ought to be able to leave, just like coaches can leave.
Oh, I agree. And I think a lot of people, myself included, have fond memories of and I've said this before, it is kind of cool seeing a freshman class go from what they were and then become great, you know, the Gooden, Collison, that group. But I think whatever group of people who will stop watching because of that, which I think is very small or nil, it's far outweighed by the benefits of the conversations we're having now that you guys just talked about.
Yeah.
And eventually those people will start liking it. It'll be a new thing, and they'll adapt, and people will like it if their team is good.
Yeah, and they're not as powerful as the NFL, but there is an element of, well, I mean, what are you going to stop watching?
Well, and I always, you know, it's one of the things that Roy Williams used to drive me crazy, always complaining about coaches getting fired.
Yeah.
Well, you're not complaining about how much they're making. They make more and more and more.
Right.
Like, to whom much is given, much is expected. And when you don't do it, you get fired. And by the way, you get all that money.
Yeah.
So settle down. I'm debating. No time? He says no. He said, waves me off. All right, let's take a break. We'll figure out. We're either going to hear from Bill Self on Hunter Dickinson. It's a longer cut. We'll see. Otherwise, we might talk a little college football. It's next here in the program. Kevin Harlan coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk some Celtics Heat. He's got the call on that. I'll get his thoughts about the fair catch rule.
Talk about
that. Maybe a little international football. The Chiefs grabbing a couple of territories on my list of topics to cover with one Kevin Harlan. One more from Bill Self. We do have time to get to it, so I want to get to it because I think it's pretty interesting. What to expect from Hunter Dickinson? Of course, you mentioned when we were talking about it, how the portal's been good to Kansas. Dickinson, the big prize. He was asked if he's ever coached someone like Dickinson.
I don't think I have a comparison offensively. I really don't. Joel offensively is probably the closest we had. But Joel, for us, what did he average, 11 points a game? You know, he was a freshman. He was young. He was green, didn't know yet. Hunter is much more established offensively from a skill set standpoint. Now, athletically, he's not where Joel is by any means like that. But I don't think I've had anybody like him. I really don't. You know, could you say a skill set like a Markieff Morris, maybe? Something like that. No. But most of our bigs have been angle guys. They get an angle. The Cole Aldridges of the world, the Sashas, the Darnells, guys like that. Darrell Arthur wasn't really a true big, but probably is as close to Hunter from a skill set standpoint, being able to make a 17-footer and stepping out. But, he's got a lot of things he's got to get better at to improve his ability to play at the next level as a five-man plays at the next level. Because if he was ready for that, he wouldn't be in college still. Because offensively, he can score the ball. And, you know, he can shoot. He shot 42% from three this year. You know, he may be one of our most effective three-point shooters next year as well. So, which I don't know if that's a great thing, but certainly, I look for him to be a threat. But, you know, the guy has averaged over 18 points a game for 3 years in the Big Ten. And the Big Ten's had as good a bigs as any league in the country.
Sounds pretty excited to coach Hunter Dickinson.
He does. He sounds pretty excited in, on all
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, in general. And yeah. maybe that's hearkening back to his we talked about earlier about the not feeling good. It's been a while since we've heard Bill Self talking when he's felt good. So maybe that's why it seems more, maybe a little bit more pumped up. But how could you not be excited about coaching that guy? Or, yeah, that's
yeah.
2010 probably every night.
No guarantee that they'll stay healthy. No guarantee they'll be as good as everybody thinks. But already preseason number one, and man, on paper, it's an old team. Old teams win, and I mean that as a positive, not as a negative.
Veteran team experience.
Yeah. Those are the teams that are winning now in college basketball. It's a big team. It's a versatile team now.
And it isn't just
I guess if there's a ding, do they have enough shooting?
Right. Is he kind of alluded there? If Hunter Dickinson's your best 3-point shooter, it's a good thing for Dickinson, but not necessarily a good thing for the team. And people often equate, you know, an older team because they've been together in a system for a long time that they won't have quite as much of that as you normally would when you have a team that's this veteran laden. They haven't all played together, but they have all played at this level, and so they understand the game, and it won't take very long for them to figure out what Kansas basketball, Bill Self basketball style is, and by the time they get the season started, they will be in a groove. By the time they get to March, it will be like they've all played together for 4 years, and they'll be very, very good.
I think he enters his best years. You know, he's in the midst or right in the middle of his best years. And
provided that he stays healthy.
If he stays healthy and he coaches for 10 years, I think he wins two more championships.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah. You know, four would put him in the discussion for greatest coach of all time.
Yep.
Let's do keep in mind there is, you know, going to be a lot of competition. I don't know. The league gets tougher. Right, losing Oklahoma and Texas. Texas of late had looked pretty good, but you know, Houston in there, Kelvin Sampson. We talked to Ross Villarreal. He thinks Kelvin Sampson's talking to the NBA just to get a number so he can get his price at Houston. So if he stays there at Houston, that's going to be a worthy adversary.
Yeah, if they'll pay him a boatload, why would you ever leave?
Which to me, I guess we're going to, you know, it may not be that he's in his Bill Self is in his you know, prime or sweet spot when it comes to coaching. We're going to finally get a chance to see, well, what if he, you know, what if they were challenged more, right? Like when that, you know, well, they can't win
all
because the other schools, they don't get any competition. Iron sharpens iron. Duke and North Carolina get each other ready. That's why they fight through the NCAA or fight through the tournament so well. Okay, that sounds good, right? Like, well, we're going to find out whether or not it's true.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
interesting test subject, so to speak.
Yeah,
I think might only be a few years away from Nate Oates. Nate Oates to Kentucky, I think, is going to pick up steam in the next few years of Calipari.
How will he coach Kentucky when he's at Syracuse in 3 years?
Okay, or Syracuse, I should say. My bad.
I have soured a little bit on Nate Oates after his handling of the
didn't go well
issues at Alabama. But I will. I can take a. A coach throwing the shirt off and running around in the snow. So I'll take a little muscleman action up in Syracuse.
I mean, Chris Beard, obviously there's rightly some controversy there, and I don't condone any of that, but he's not gone.
Meaning what?
He's still in the sport.
Chris Beard to Syracuse?
No, just that he's there.
Yeah.
He's still coaching. I'm talking about competition for Self.
But not in his league.
Yeah, I mean, that'll only come up in other guys who could win the tournament.
Yeah, that's that's what I'm talking about. The league now, if assuming Drew wasn't just kind of like a little one-hit wonder, with Drew at Baylor and Kelvin Sampson at Houston, you know, that's and if we're talking about going in Arizona, going to be in this league at some point.
And the Tang train ain't going no place.
Yeah, Jerome Tang looks like he's got K-State to where that's going to be much more of a real threat every time they play. I think it looks like he gets it on all parts of roster construction and team building, and now he's got, you know, competition that should make him better. Sorry, rest of college basketball. It's going to be tough going up against the Jayhawks here moving forward. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Kevin Harlan, the voice of America, CBS, TNT, Westwood One. We'll talk Celtics and the Miami Heat. Are the Heat dead now? That seems to be everyone's popular opinion. We'll see what Kevin Harlan thinks about that. It's coming up next here in the program.
All right, since 1990, five players have won a World Series one for one team 1 year and another team the next. Name any one of them. Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.